help us to commence this evening with hymn 329. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, you who unto Jesus for refuge have fled? 329.
Thank you. Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews, chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we assemble in thy house at this time, at the hour of public worship. Oh, what a mercy to come up to thy house in the Spirit, under the cloud, the blessing of grace, the drawings of thy eternal love, weeping after thee, mourning over ourself, abhorring ourself in dust and ashes as Job did. Thus we venture into thy house. O Lord, we would seek thy blessing, for we need it. O may we be a band in great need, O looking for thy appearing. Let there be united, earnest petitions, perhaps not concerning the same matters personally, but with that one essence, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. O dear Lord, we do look into thy word. Pray thy word may be meat from heaven this night. It may turn our heart over and bring us closer, that it may draw our faces thitherward to Zion's heavenly hill, the new Jerusalem which is above, where thou art. Lord Jesus, reveal thyself in all thy grace as the God-man manifest in flesh, or the Son of David, the eternal mediator of the covenant. Lord Jesus, as our offering, our high priest, our covenant head, our husband, our Lord, our beloved forever, draw us in mercy. We confess our sins. Thou knowest every groaning heart here in a body of sin and a body of death. O Lord, if we confess our sins, and Lord, all we do thou knowest, and we only can go so far, for we fail in everything, but it is the spirit of repentance, but all may it be mingled with faith. We cannot change this body or life of ours, but thou art able to take us and cleanse us with thy word. Speak to our hearts eternal life and mercy. It's mercy, Lord, and help, deliverance, oh, and blessing from heaven. Help us to be passive, to lay in thy hand, to weep at thy feet, and to love to be there and not wander at thy feet, to know thee as thou art, and that at thy feet signifies to my heart anyway the way, the walk, the life, the truth, are the atonement and the footsteps. May we walk in the footsteps of the flock to follow thee, Lord, while life remains, and then to go over dry shod, or give us the earnestness of heaven. Or we are vile. Lord, we have nothing to say but put our mouth in the dust and there confess our utter worthlessness and failing and unfaithfulness. Lord, have mercy on us to the end of the journey. For left to ourselves, we shall fall into ruin. Bring us safely on by grace alone, grace and mercy and eternal love. Draw us on, we pray, to where we long to be. Do remember us as we gather round the word. May we know thee, Lord, as our Redeemer and our Saviour. Increase our faith. O Lord, grant us, Lord, that purging out of the old leaven, the legality of our heart and mind. Oh, that we may not be presumptuous, we don't know which we fear worst, unbelief or presumption. Lord, we really stagger on the right hand and the left of unbelief and presumption. But there is a narrow way, and draw us in the way of grace and mercy only. Mercy to my soul. Help to my heart. Help to my life. Be near me and don't leave. O Lord Jesus, we cleave to thee and thy word and thy way, O Lord, and grant that we may feel the Holy Ghost drawing us and teaching us and prompting us. O Lord, Do be with this house and bless this house, bless the ministry here. Bless thy servants, bless the friends. Remember the dear deacons, be gracious to them, help them, bless them. And in all their matters that pertain unto them, the church, the congregation. We notice a number not here, we pray whatever the case is, they will be with them where they are. Oh, remember, all in loneliness, sorrow, unhappiness, in tribulation, in perplexity, in grief. Those who feel thou hast passed them by, in mercy turn. Oh, turn and have compassion on us. We plead thy name, Lord, for every blessing. That name which prevails in heaven. And Lord, we've nothing else to plead. Remember aged friends, be gracious, be near them, those near at the end of their days, oh, save and bless. In affliction, weakness. Remember all friends in affliction, whether younger or older. Put forth thy healing hand. There are afflictions and have been here. O Lord, do appear in mercy, in tender loving kindness. Put forth thy healing hand and help. And leave not thy people to lie down in sorrow, for we know what we deserve. We know that is our portion at last. Or for thee, wretchedness of our own case, the awfulness of our heart. But Lord, do lead thy people on to know thee more, and afflicted friends, oh, do draw near and bless them. Confirm thy word in the trial of faith. Help us to endure that chastening as we read as sons. Oh, help us to willingly yield up obedience and not grudgingly. May we be drawn by love, and oh, by the dew of thy sufferings, draw us. Oh, by the dew of thy one offering, draw us. Draw us to obedience by love. Oh, may we consider what thou hast endured. And may our heart and lives be affected forever with the rich blessing of thy offering for our sin, for our life, forever. Remember, younger friends, bless the Sunday school, bless the teachers. Be with each in mercy, bless Zion, bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. The editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies, bless them in their labours. Return in mercy to us in the ministry and the word. Revive us, Lord, in mercy, in true gospel repentance, and most holy faith. Dear Lord, remember thy one church in the earth, the missionaries where thy name is feared. Thy word is read. Remember us in the nation. Have mercy on England in these most solemn, awful times. Oh, what can we say? Help thy people to hide themselves and enter their closet and shut the door and seek grace in this time of solemn events in the land. Oh, we are part of the nation. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage, our civil liberties, our freedom to worship. Bless our Queen. Oh, have mercy on us in this solemn time. We thank thee, bless thee, praise thee for every mercy. Oh, many, many, many mercies. We're at in a wonder at them. We don't deserve one of them. Lord, many mercies. We bless thee, praise thee for those spiritual mercies. Now, Lord, oh, help me to live near thee, upon thy bosom lain, obey thy voice and all thy will esteem. Draw our hearts unto thee. Let us worship in spirit and truth. Oh, for the heavenly manna to feed our souls. Oh, Lord Jesus, do come. Oh, do multiply the bread of heaven in our lives and hearts. Oh, send us all. We are full of poverty. We are as an unclean thing. We all like sheep have gone astray. Oh Lord, do draw us in mercy. May we hear the voice of the good shepherd. Lord, not only to know his good voice, but to remember how thou hast died and risen. And then let us make haste unto thee. O Lord, do have mercy on us. O Lord, without thee, we can do nothing. Lord, it's a hard place to come to. But that is where we sometimes have to live for a long time. Come, save us at last. Bring us on with living desires. Oh Lord, thou knowest every heart. Thou lookest on the heart, the soul of man. It's not a multitude of words. It's not preaching. Thou lookest on our heart. Wash us. Cleanse us. Thou knowest our need. Let thy work appear unto us, we beseech thee. So, Lord, we fall into thy hands. Bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Thou knowest every case, every heart here. Oh, Lord, thou knowest our need. We finish with the prayer of the publican. God, be merciful. And I'm still praying it, Lord. Be merciful to me, a sinner. Come, Lord Jesus, we ask in thy worthy name and for thy sake. Amen.
Hymn 614. The Lord the righteous tries, yet we'll adore his name. He never will their cause despise, nor put their hope to shame. 614.
in complete dependence upon the Lord, I would draw your attention to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 41 and verse 10. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It wasn't until the end of the journey up that I had anything for this evening, and the text rather took me by surprise. Dear friends, may this be a word to some heart here under the dew of mercy, grace. If it's not of grace, dear friends, it is nothing to us, and sovereign love passes us by. It's only under the dew of eternal grace by the Holy Ghost will the Spirit linger and impart that life in the soul. Here the prophet speaks to the church. It is a prophecy concerning Christ's kingdom, in other words, his blessing, his life to the church. And he speaks in this text to his people, and he tells them what he will do, not what they will do. And he accepts nothing from his people. The only glory that is acceptable in heaven is praise. Praise founded on what he has done, not what we do. Not from feigned lips, but through the release of the Spirit from the burden, the bondage, the darkness, the guilt, the plague, the death of sin. What do we know of any mercy and leading and help and due? Who did Christ come to? But he came to the dying. He came to the perishing. He came to the lonely. He came to the lost. He came to those in sadness, in deep waters of affliction and tribulation over many years. You know, tribulation and sorrow is the way it seems the Lord deals with his people, as we've been singing. And he tries them. And we have need of chastisement, correction, that we might be partakers of his holiness. This holiness, which without which no man shall see the Lord, dear friends, is not the holiness you think it is. It's his holiness, and he gives it in righteousness as a covering, as a glory, as living water. It's a living water holiness. It's a water of life, righteousness. It's all mercy, sovereign mercy, and sovereign love. God accepts nothing from our hand. Dear friend, we are passive, waiting for the living waters to flow, watching for his coming, but full of fear. Oh, full of rebuke. Oh, afraid. Afraid of ourselves. Afraid. Afraid to continue to live, lest we dig our own sorrow deeper. And he speaks to his church with a fear not. Do you know it? I must first speak of two things before I come to the word. I hinted at one already. How you upheld in tribulation. There's only one thing. Through the right hand of his righteousness, through his mercy. I know it sounds a bit deep to speak of and a bit high for to grasp, but it's true. Friends, he deals with his people in righteousness. He couldn't deal with them otherwise. How could the Son of God, how could our high priest, our mediator, in whom the Father has placed all things, deal with us? Except in righteousness, except in mercy, except in grace. That righteousness is mercy. His sovereign love is mercy. It's righteousness. And he upholds us. He upholds us to the end in the right hand of his righteousness. The other matter I come to, more vital in a way, is who speaks. We want the Lord to speak, don't we? Perhaps there's someone here who longs to hear his voice the first time and fears they'll make a mistake. Perhaps they won't know his voice. They're so ignorant and dark and foolish and blind and muddled in religion, they have no idea their right hand from their left hand. You know, you will know his voice. And why? He'll set your soul free. And that's how you'll know his voice. He will set you free. Loose him. Let him go. The word of God to his church in electing love and mercy is a word of liberation, of loving kindness, of help, of grace, of love. That's you'll know his voice. You fear you won't, but you know. When we stand up and say grace is unconditional, I wonder if we understand what we say. There's no conditions attached to grace. If he's either loved us with an everlasting love or he has not. There's no condition attached. But that love works in us. It turns us over. It pulls down. It digs deep. It ploughs us up. He turns us over as a ploughman would turn over the earth to put the seed in. And he waters the seed. And it comes. And it brings forth fruit. And that fruit is from he who gave the seed. The fruit is in Christ. The seed is given, the word of God. It comes from Christ, from God. And it will bear fruit. Bear fruit in praise, knowledge, thanksgiving, a life. Of course, first there is the repentance, the godly sorrow, the weeping, the simplicity of prayer. Oh, the simplicity. How are your prayers? Are they long? Are they deep? Or are they like a child? How many times do you have to go like a child and a worm and creep back? And creep back and pray. You know, You know, friends, you think the Lord will get weary of you. Keep returning. Wandering, returning. Wandering, returning. Wandering. No, he won't. Because he's drawing you back. And if you're his, you'll have to keep coming back. And he will bring you back. And there he is glorified. And he's glorified in your heart for his goodness. I, the Lord, that speak righteousness. He only speaks righteousness. It is the glorious Son of God who speaks here. How can I know he speaks? Yes, he speaks and speaks to thee. May he help thee to believe. Then thou presently wilt see. Thou hast little cause to grieve. In the Lord Jesus Christ is everything you need. Comfort, deliverance, holiness, righteousness, sin subdued, delivered from death, life, holiness, salvation, strength to endure. It comes through his word. Now, how can you be as an unclean thing? How can you be righteous with sin in your heart? I was rather struck a few moments ago by someone speaking. When will you be rid of sin? Dear friend, when you reach heaven, and you won't be rid of it before, but it won't have its dominion. And when will it not have its dominion? When Christ arises, when he's made precious, when the heart goes out to him, and these are little measures of leading. When the heart goes out, and you know how many times do I have to say, almost every sermon, and friend, I need it, and it's real and true. Now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. And it's the only cleansing you've got. And the word of grace to the soul works life, cleanses, brings forth righteousness. And that is the word upon which you are standing, lying, hoping, pleading what he has said. And you haven't got anything else. And Jesus is the life of the word. I know I've said this many times. And I say at home, Jesus is the life of the gospel. And he's the life of this text. I am with thee. Well, fear thou not. You know, what a beginning of a good word like this. Because the Lord knows how to begin. The Lord knows how to come. He knows where his people are. He knows what they fear. Friend, your fears are beyond description and they are limitless. You don't know where to begin. If I said to you, what is it you fear? You might say self, but, well, there's a multiplication for you for a start, isn't there? Fear sin, fear self, fear Satan. Fear to come to the end of the journey and your very spiritual life fail and give out, make shipwreck, prove you were deceived. 1,000 fears. Fears in trial, fear in outward trials. Fear the trial is the hand of God against you. You feel the Lord's hand's gone out against you. Of course we fear it because we have sinned and come short. Friends, we fear ourselves. I feel my the greatest thing I could explain it. I fear my wicked heart. Leave the God I love. Were it not for grace, it would. It would. It'd leave the God you love, the Redeemer. your very soul has hoped in, who you've wept before, who you've come to, who died. Friend, that precious blood. Think of Christ's groanings, suffering hell in his soul. And you could leave him, left to yourself. I'm not speculating. Wandering. Wander away from the narrow way. Sovereign love calls return. So, well, it's an awful thing, you know. And we are aware there are those in the past, very rare cases, but they're real, who have made awful shipwreck after speaking wonderful things in the atonement and how their soul was affected. It's a fearful thing, isn't it? Do you fear? Friend, we need keeping. And only the Lord can come with this word tonight to the soul. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Friend, we have many fears. We are not safe until we are in heaven. But we are safe when he comes, when he is with us. And a living soul knows it to be on the foundation. I know you fear, you're deceived. Perhaps there's someone here who, well, I believe I know that foundation. I believe the Lord has been with me. I believe I've had a glimpse, but, oh dear, am I deceived? Am I deceived? The enemy knows how to turn you over and show you your sins. But I will come to the word now. Well, may it be a word to some heart here this night. You know, oh, do you know who's with you? Have you some understanding who it is who speaks? It's the Son of God. I am that I am. He came down to deliver Israel. Friend, it told Abraham what he would do. And the time came, and it came to pass. The time came. The time of blessing must and will come. He came down to deliver them and said, I am that I am. Friend, what a greater blessing, what a greater support, what a greater rock than I am that I am. But is there some heart here? I wonder how we come to chapel. You know, oh dear friends, I hope there's some come along begging and pleading for the Lord to speak. Fear thou not. Fear not what you're in. It won't destroy you. We've been singing of the Lord, the righteous trials. Purify us as silver. Refine us as silver. Purify us as gold. Try us as gold. That he may see his reflection. You know, dear Lord, dear friends, the Lord is gracious. And that word in John, which we don't hear much of in our churches, and I quite understand, and I'm very cautious to speak, because it's so misused. God is love. His work is love. His promise is love. His grace is love. Eternal love. Keeping love. Sanctifying love. Washing love. Victorious love. And this word is in mercy. Redeeming love. To a tried soul, fear thou not. What you're in, the trial of your faith, the pathway, the furnace, the affliction, the loneliness, the temptation, the silence of God. Are you going to say the Lord wasn't with Jacob all the years he was silent to him? Over Joseph? I love the life of Jacob. You know, Jacob knew God's silence over Joseph all those years. Yet there'd been the dew of heaven. There'd been the dream, the observation, the knowledge. Those dreams, you know, weren't idle dreams. They spake. Jacob laid these things up in his heart, you know. But of course, there was a reason that Jacob made too much of Joseph. And he had to be tried. But he didn't leave him, you know. He was with him. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. He that left his glorious abode came down to this earth, showed nothing but mercy to the sorrowful, the undone, the afflicted, and spoke warnings, serious, solemn, searching words to the Pharisees and the scribes and to the Jews, and yielded up obedience, a thing, friend, a living soul could not do, is willing to endure the wrath. Yet he did for his people. We may be made willing to endure the cross, but we cannot be willing to have the sentence of Christ's death upon our lives, for it was death forever. And it was only, he only rose because of his righteousness, and you couldn't, because we're undone. Sweet mysteries of truth here. I must be clear in what I say, I don't want to mislead. Not one of us could ever rise again were the wrath of God to be upon us. The dear Redeemer took the wrath due, and his own arm sustained him. He was the Son of God, and he was found righteous. And by imputation, the blessing is given freely by the covenant to the church. He rose again. I am with thee. I, the one that rose. I, the righteous one. I am with my people, my trembling people. Look at some of them. Poor old Thomas. Friends, look at them. Peter, jumping headfirst into wrong things and wrong conclusions. Are you any better? Peter, full of zeal, openly denying and cursing and swearing in front of Christ's enemies that he knew him not. Our friends, the woman bowed down with infirmities. It was many years. The man of Bethesda's pool. Sinners. Oh, friends, sinners. Sinners. No excuse. We wouldn't go into their pathway, although we've been in it, some of us. But he draws us out, and we'd go back were it not for grace. Drew them. Showed mercy. I that speak to thee am he. I that speak to thee am he. I am with thee. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Friends, this abiding presence of Christ, having loved his own rich from the world, he loved them to the end. You know, the glory of the covenant is, for I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And Jacob knew it, you know. Yet he was tried, was he not? Was not Jacob tried? I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. We've been singing that opening hymn. When it was told me what the hymn was, I had that hope this text was right. Exceeding great and precious promises. And they are, aren't they? Friend, the glory is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. May I ask you how you feel about him? Dear friend, does your soul cleave to him and plead with him? Do you weep before him? Do you desire to be closer to him than any other living being, every unloving principle, every living person? Do you long for his life as a ransom for you? Do you long to know him more? Do you love him despite your infirmities? You know, the Lord looks on the heart. He knows where we are tonight. He knows who loves him. He knows where his work is. He knows the weep for him. And he knows they're ashamed of themselves. And we are all ashamed of ourselves if we're taught of him. For we have failed. Grace overcomes. That's why you love him. Grace, eternal keeping, overcomes all our infirmities. This isn't preaching carelessness. It's a mercy, rich in mercy. Love to overcome his people's failings. Love to love Peter still, despite those, his wretchedness. I am with thee. Well, may the Lord be with you. May he be with me. Dear friend, you are following to take up the cross. To bear his reproach. It's his reproach. What a mercy to bear his reproach. To suffer with him, that we may also reign with him. I am with thee. Oh, why should he be with you, friend? You know, the sooner as you begin to churn it over and say, how can these things be? God's people do. Zacharias did. Mary did. Look at them all doing it. Look at Daniel. But it is so. May he speak. Feel thou now, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. Oh, the paths you're going in. You've not passed this way heretofore. We quoted a text, I think, sometime today somewhere. I think it was at Harpenden. For I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Didn't know it, did you? It doesn't mean literally blind to the Lord's mercy. But you can't see the way ahead. You can't see the end. You can't always trace the Lord's blessing and the Lord's leading. I'll bring the blind. I'll bring them. They can't. They don't know the end of the thing from a beginning, but I'll bring them by a way they knew not. I'll make darkness light before them. Leave them paths they have not known. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Crooked things straight. Be not dismayed. You know, Joshua was given some sweet instruction. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Neither be thou dismayed, Joshua, with all that's before you. The Lord had promised Moses in Egypt, and if you notice it, or the Red Sea, I should say, the Lord shall fight for you and you shall hold your peace. That was a covenant blessing. It wasn't just for that time. And now Joshua's in the commission. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee. Whithersoever thou goest. We're not coming to the mount that might be touched. The sound of the trumpet. What did we read in Hebrews concerning this? Ah, but where are we come unto? Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. This is spiritual worship. Friend, this is spiritual worship this night. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, to the blood of sprinkling. That's where you come to when you pray. That's where you come to in prayer at home. When you're doing something in the house or in the garden or walking down the road or at work or whatever you're doing in your field. You've come to the General Assembly of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God the Judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. What does it mean? He has now ascended as the right hand. He's set down at the right hand of God. That's where you come to. You don't see that or know it, but that's where your cries enter. And that's where the Redeemer shows forth that blood of sprinkling, that effectual blessing forever, the one offering forever. The blessing is forever. The shelter is forever. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I am thy God. Look at the dismay of long waiting. Look at the dismay of sin brings. Friends, look at the dismay in trial. May you know it as a people, as a church, a congregation, but I think more individually. Yes, dear friends, it's a deep mystery in Zion, isn't it? You know, how we need those personal blessings, personal application, but how, as a church or a group or whatever it is, an assembly, how the gathering, how the Lord's blessing needs to be upon the gathering. How quickly can the candlestick be removed? How quickly can we grieve the Spirit of God? Friends, the great thing is, I am with thee. I am thy God. Does that still stand? Friend, does it still stand when through those deep waters he's called thee to go? You know, the trial sharpens, doesn't it? The trial brings us to points. It brings us down to his feet to wait on him alone. You know, until we get trial, we think we know it all. Friends, it's a sweet mystery. I don't understand myself. I don't understand altogether the Lord's... Well, I do, but what I mean is, you can't see at the beginning when he first blesses you his purpose. You don't know, you think this is the real blessing of God forever. You don't realise what's in front. You've got to learn your own heart. You've got to learn to be patient. You've got to learn to wait for him, to know him only. And I look back and wonder, why isn't it like it was? Friends, I found what was in my heart. I found the plague of sin to be worse than I ever realised. We're discovering what we're delivered from. We're discovering, friends, the fuller meaning of the Lord's sufferings. As you realise the plague of your own heart, so you begin to realise the magnitude of the atonement you so need. Friend, not just all those sins in the past forgiven, those sins now to the end of the journey. That love to abound, the first new. If only you could taste that spring again. Friend, you could drink it again. We know what we've been delivered from, friends. The hell that's within the heart. The hell of our nature. And he died. He died to redeem us from the bottomless pit. I am thy God. You know, when the Lord said, and we have the Lord's Supper before us in the coming Lord's Day, we do but sip the cup. Do this in remembrance of me. And friend, you'll find that remembrance is not thinking about him in the Bible or the Bible account. Friend, you discover with your own breast, oh, how could I so carelessly sin? How could I grieve him? But you know, the cup of salvation. To taste. I know it's wine. But dear friend, he drank the cup. He drank the cup of his Father's wrath. and we taste the cup of salvation. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. You know, we are full of dismay, aren't we? But these are promises, you know. The first part of this text is that visit, that signification, that assurance is with you still. I am with thee, I am thy God, what you're passing through. But then he turns the word and he says, I will strengthen thee. Do you need that? Friends, does it drop in like rain? The earth opens up for the rain. Your heart opens up for mercy. Lord, it's mercy or I die. Friends, this is the seriousness of a child of God. It's either live or perish. Either the word of God will water my soul and cause me to live, or it will not. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. Dear friend, and what a covering word. Whatever it might apply to. In fact, it covers the whole of the journey. But it could be a light thing one day and a heavy thing another day. Strengthen to know my will. Strengthen thee to trust me still in the intensity of the furnace. Strengthen thee to bring thee through. Strengthen thee to bear the reproach. To bear the sorrow. Look at me. Look unto me, and be ye saved all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there's none else. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow? That will strengthen you. That's grace to strengthen you. See if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. I will strengthen thee. Strengthen thee to believe. Strengthen thee to pray. Strengthen thee to trust. You know, trusting and believing, dear friends, are the hardest things for a pilgrim, because it has to come from heaven. And they've got no command over it. We've got command over many things, and they're all perverse. But that which is good and right and sweet and heavenly, we've no command over. We have to wait. You know, the earth waits for the rain, does it not? At times you take a drought. When will it rain? You see everything dying in the garden. When will it rain? He can't make it rain. He does come. He will come. I will strengthen thee to believe. Believe ye that I'm able to do this. I will strengthen thee. For my will. You know, if the Lord is really dealing with us, dear friends, it is for our salvation and our blessing. It's for our obedience. If he really is with us, it's to draw us to his obedience and to draw us to follow him. I will strengthen thee. Friend, not just in the journey, but the end of it. For the end of the journey. Oh, friend, if there's any fainting, it's how will I do in the swellings of Jordan? Is there any fainting there? Oh, friend, for I will strengthen thee. And what is it that strengthens us? Through his word. Christ in the word. Oh, but how you long to feel him near, the angel of his presence. They're rare blessings, but have you known? Have you known the Lord to draw near? And how you long for him again. I will strengthen thee. Until I come, tarry. Tarry, I will come. I will come, tarry. Yea, I will help thee. It seems that strengthening, dear friends, here we have an addition to the strength given. Often strength is not discovered until you're brought through something. Say, well, the Lord I was strengthened through, but this speaks closer to the heart. I will help thee. Although both are very precious, I'm not saying one's better than the other, but I will help thee. For I the Lord thy God, he goes on in another verse below, for I the Lord thy God will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Friend, help thee to believe, help thee to trust, help thee to pray, help thee to wait. I'll help thee. In what you're in, I'll help, I'll bring you through. You know, we give way to fear. We think it's the end. The trial is the end. It'll be the end of everything. It's the end of me. Friends, oh dear friend, I believe some of us know this, don't we? We have been near the end, you know. Oh, left to ourselves, I don't know what would have happened. I don't mean anything outrageous or dramatic. What I mean is, oh, the Lord has forsaken me now. I know what it is, friends, to have to be like David. I don't want to go into detail, and I might have told you, I might not. But choose thee three things. I'll do it unto thee. Let me fall into the hands of God, for greater is mercies. Let me not fall into the hand of man, said David. Or can you fall here into his hand and wait patiently and trust him that he will do best? Friend, it was a solemn trial for David. And the sword, the angel with the sword, was stretched over Jerusalem. But do you know what David did? He built an altar and he offered. And oh, what a glorious truth. The sword was put away. How David had to plead for these sheep. What had they done? It was his sin that brought the trouble. And it's your sin that's brought the trouble, whether it be family or business or church or whatever. If it had come to those places, but the sword was put away. There was the offering, the burnt offering, friend. This became the house of God to David. Dear friend, can you plead the dear Lamb of God in the text tonight? I will help thee. I'll help thee to look to me. I'll help thee to hide in my side. I'll help thee to be like the children of Israel and abide in the house. Paul had to say, did thee not to the mariners, except you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Don't panic. Don't flee. Stay where you are. I will come where you are. I will help thee. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Leave me. He'll help you. Lead you to the rock that is higher than I. I will help thee. Yea. I will uphold thee, bring thee honourably through, unashamed. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now these are his dealings in Christ. Friend, it's a holding of a hand must mean nearness. You know, when the Lord tries us and we're put in the furnace, do you discover, you didn't, until that time, you didn't discover how far off you were, did you? It's then that you discover how far you've drifted. You didn't realize you had. You know, you were still, there's almost, I wouldn't say it was an assumption, but you were almost feeling, well, you're still under the blessing of the promise. But dear friend, the Jew had withdrawn. You know, you might still be feeling how good the word was and tell other people, but there wasn't the humbling Jew of heaven. There was not a softness, a brokenness of heart. You believe with a hard heart, and it meant you drifted. You know, nearness, when he comes with his right hand to hold you, is Jew there. There's a broken heart. There's a softness. There's a quietness. Friend, there's a humbling. There's weeping. There's a looking to the man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Then you discover the preciousness of being near in the sorrows and the grief. Then you discover the preciousness. He's gone this way. He's leading you in it. I will uphold thee. Friends, oh, why should he? Oh, why should a text like this be in the Bible? Why should it be made precious to you? Why should your heart be opened up longing for the rain? Longing for it to come in. It's the very reality you want. This is what you want. This is what the church needs. A living soul wants a word like this. Friends, it's not. I don't mean a want by a carnal desire, but a need. Without it, we would sink, would we not? I would uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Now, friend, that covenant. Oh, were it not for the covenant of grace, where would we be? You know, the wonders of electing love. You know, there is the glory of his love to thy soul. It's an electing love. I've chosen thee and not cast thee away. The high right hand of my righteousness. If your living soul would be led to depend on Jesus alone and nothing else. And if you're not near him, you'll be so low, so sad, so weeping. A living soul wants the Lord. He longs for the Lord. Cannot do without him. And you would be brought into straits where it would be sink or swim. Live or die. Lord Jesus, come. Oh, come. Oh, come to me. I deserve not the least of thy mercies. Friend, the prayers, the bleatings, the cries of his people, they entered to the Lord of Sabaoth, the ears of him above. It's a God of compassion, God of mercy. But I will leave the word. I had no idea I'd be speaking from this when I left home this morning. Not an inkling. I had no idea. In fact, I spoke from verse 14, I'm sure, a year or so ago, on an evening service. But I will now leave it with thee. Oh, may not the Lord leave it. Oh, is it balm to thy soul? Oh, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Ah, dear friends, you are breathing cries after Christ. Oh, fear thou not. Oh, a thousands and a thousand fears. Fears within, fears without. Fears of Satan, fears of your own heart. Well, what? Fears in the trial. Fear the Lord has left you. Friend, he must leave you, surely. How can he be with you? Only by grace. Only by grace. He'll only stay with you by grace. And he's bound in the covenant to be with you in grace. If he has purchased thy soul, brought thee to weep. This is a word by sovereign grace alone and mercy alone. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Don't you want it? Is he not your friend? What a word, I am with thee. Friend, that a living soul must groan forth with that word, I am with thee. How you'd long for it to be true. Friend, you long for him. Long for him. Who can describe it? Well, I do. If you don't, I know what. Oh, be careful what I say. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Oh, friends. You know, you needn't. But he must and he will. He will in the covenant, he must. He's God, you know. He's not man. God is not a man that he would lie. Hath he said and shall he not do it? He's not a man that he should repent. Hath he not said and shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken? Shall he not make it good? Yeah, I will uphold thee with the right hand. I will help thee. Yeah, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness.
willing, Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach next Lord's Day and hopes to address the Sunday school. And Mr. Wheatley is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 557. How sweet and precious is the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord, the Lamb, to sinners in distress. A name just suited to their case, pregnant with mercy, truth and grace, with strength and righteousness. 557.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Ghost, abide with us each, now, forever. Amen.